What's up, wrestling fans? Welcome to another edition of the Smarkout Moment Smack Talk Podcast. I am your host, Tony Mango. Joining me on the mic for this episode is Mike Payden.
M-I-K-E-P-A-D-E-N. Yeah, I don't know. I don't got nothing.
Wouldn't it be terrible if that was the entire edition of the song?
Here's the hot tags. They are hot tags, yes.
And they're fabulous. And they're fucking hot. Ouch. Oh, God. There's your outro for the week, everybody. We haven't done those in a while.
Got it early.
But, yes, if you have not checked out what this is going to be the hot tags. And I give you guys a little bit of a heads up for this, where we're going to be switching things up and not necessarily recording Smack Talk as a three-point structure anymore in one shot. We're going to be doing separate things for the future, possibly, at the very least this week, because this week is just a ton of different content. I got the Sporkle videos up already if you want to check those out. Passed some, failed some. Not going to tell you which ones. And we've got, of course, some different things coming up a little bit later on. The Ask Him is going to be coming up tomorrow. We're recording this Tuesday night, by the way, everybody. And one of our main events is going to be a Cruiserweight Classic Finals post-show. So make sure you pay attention to that. Possibly some other things as well. I'm going to try to get as many things as out there as possible. But we do have to break down the hot tags of the week. And if you don't know what those are, it's pretty simple. Just some different stories and news and stuff that have happened over the past few days. And we're going to start off with our weekly Alberto Del Rio story, because we actually have two this time. One of them I thought was just pretty interesting because I would assume that it's pretty true, because this is the type of thing that always ends up being true. And the guy himself can't actually speak on it, but Del Rio was saying in an interview that Andrade Cien Almas wants to leave WWE because of how he's been treated there. You think that there is going to be an exit from him in the future?
Oh, I think that's Del Rio might be just trying to shake some things up. I wouldn't doubt that he's a little bit unhappy with how things has gone. I mean, people don't like him too much.
Yeah, he's pretty, like, I mean, he came on as this, like, oh man, we're going to get this new guy. And pretty much everybody that's been coming into NXT, they've made a big deal out of him. He won, what, three matches or so? And they were all just like NXT, and then he started losing.
I think he's still got a lot of a chance to go. I don't think it'd be too soon to discount anything on him. From my understanding, he's not wearing the suspenders and hat anymore.
Oh, good.
They dropped that part of his gimmick. So that'll be a big up for him. I like him. I don't think that he deserves a lot of the hate he's been getting. I mean, obviously, you put him out there with Bobby Roode, and he's who the crowd's going to be in favor with the other guy.
Right.
I mean, I remember he kind of hung in there with Ty Dillinger. And that was a guy who was extremely over at the time, and still is. But for Almas, I think there's still a lot of a chance, but I just think he needs to try out some different things. I think he might be, if he is upset, expecting to just go in and get the superstar treatment right away. I mean, he's got to realize he is in a pond filled with big fish right now.
Mm-hmm.
There is a lot of big names all over right now on the main card and on the developmental team. I get La Sombra. A lot of people think he's his legend of Mexico, but you know what? So was
Del Rio.
So was Del Rio, and so was the original Sin Cara.
And we've got now I'm blanking on his name, but Grand Metalik.
Oh,
whatever
hell
his
yeah.
other name was is Dorada something, right?
Are you talking about Lince Dorada? That's the other luchador that was in the tournament.
Yeah, he's great too. But I think Grand Metalik was like Dorado something else or something. Mascarada Dorado, I think. I think that sounds familiar to me. Yeah, he was another big name and stuff, and they were asking about him, and he was like, I haven't really talked to him yet. So he kind of threw Almas's name under the bus a little bit, which either means that Almas is really disliking it there and he doesn't care, or Del Rio is just sort of like speaking out of turn or whatever. But the way that they've been treating Almas, where he's been losing and stuff, wouldn't put it past them maybe telling him, you know, relax a little bit, you're not going to get pushed that much. Maybe he's like causing a little bit of problems behind the scenes or something like that, and they're sort of humbling him or whatever. I don't know. I mean, this could be one of those guys that he sticks around for a while and he learns his lesson, or it could be the opposite where he's gone in a couple months, whatever his contract's up. Wouldn't be shocked either way.
I wouldn't be also surprised if perhaps Del Rio has a problem with Almas, and he's just trying to cause a rift with them in WWE.
You never know. He's had issues with other people.
Especially people that he's worked with before in Mexico. And I don't know if he's crossed paths with them there, but they might have crossed each other in the hallway and rubbed each other the wrong way.
Yeah. Maybe he knows the original Sin Cara, and he's just kind of like, yo, he's my boy. He's like, all right, well, I'm going to get you fucking fired then. It does seem like he's getting somebody fired, though, or somebody's leaving for him, I guess you should say, instead, with Paige. More and more coming out with her just not being on WWE's side anymore. She had something that she was tweeting earlier or Instagramming earlier, I forget, where Del Rio is opening some kind of a new restaurant or whatever, and she's talking about, like, you know, how proud she is, and it's like, that's what the future is and whatever, which is like, if you're going to trade wrestling for WWE for being like a manager for his fucking restaurant or whatever, that's terrible. But the worst sign of it all, she got another Alberto Del Rio tattoo. This one's just Alberto under her, I think it was left breast.
I don't think that was a real tattoo.
Really?
Yeah. Have you ever seen someone when they just get a tattoo?
Well, that's true. It didn't really have all the red around the outside.
It wasn't like red or puffed up or anything. Like it looked very fake.
Could have just been from a couple days ago, and that already, like, the swelling went down though. Maybe she didn't want to take a picture with that.
A woman as fair skinned as Paige would not heal from a tattoo that quickly.
Well, she's been suspended for how long?
Oh,
about 3 weeks? 2 weeks?
I don't even know at this point. And even before that, she wasn't really on TV much.
Yeah, so she could have gotten this a while back, and now this is the first time where she's like, oh, it looks pretty good. I think I'll post it now. Or maybe that's now fair. They kind of, like, pissed her off enough that she wanted to actually put something out there in support of him. Either way, either she got the tattoo for real, or she's thinking about it, and that's a temp one or whatever, but don't get anybody's name on your skin tattooed. Like,
bad enough she got Poppy.
Mm-hmm.
And also, that's gross.
Yeah. The Poppy one was gross enough. Now she's got literally Alberto under there now. Like, Poppy, okay, maybe in the future if it doesn't work out, you can figure out a way to get around that. Alberto,
Limiting your market to a very specific group of gentlemen out there.
Yeah, she's just going to be like, only, she's going to go on like OKCupid or whatever, only dating Albertos because it's got to match the tattoo. But she's looking more and more like the 19-year-old kid that's dating a 30-year-old something. Although it's, you know, you upgrade the age a little bit. And it's like the rebellious thing going on. And I'm losing any faith that Paige is not just like a child.
Well, you know what's funny? Did you see where Del Rio's first booking is?
No, where is that going to be?
His first booking is going to be in England for Paige's parents' promotion.
Huh. So wow, that ain't suspicious.
Yeah, he's going to meet the family.
He's like, yeah, so I see my daughter got a tattoo, huh? Oh, you're talking about the Poppy one? No.
Nah.
Yeah, so we're probably going to be hearing that story about Paige leaving WWE pretty soon, I would assume. All the different things are pointing to it. All the signs show her not being in the right mindset to stay with WWE. It seems like she's supporting Del Rio with this whole thing. She was with his press conference where he was talking about some different things. So she's pulling an AJ Lee. And you know what? It worked out well, I guess, for AJ Lee. Hopefully for Paige it works out well, but...
Oh, man, I hope we get to see Del Rio go back to MMA and get his ass whooped.
Oh, God. If it was if it was Alberto Del Rio against CM Punk, who would you root for?
Oh, probably Del Rio, honestly.
Can I pick the ref?
No, I want Del Rio to now go back to MMA, get his ass kicked, and also get his ass kicked so bad that he loses control of his bowels.
Oh, that could be that would just, like... check off everything. Be like, yeah. He got his ass kicked, he got humiliated, and he shit himself. Amazing.
Oh, and he has to be wearing the white trunks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, gotta be a type of material that's like, got a special sheen to it, where it'll be really easily see-through. Mm. Only when he shits himself, though. I don't want to see his ass, but...
It should be like kind of like that mesh material.
It's like it's stuck in... Now you know what we really want to see. We don't want to see Del Rio succeed anywhere. We don't want to see, like, Paige go be the top woman in New Japan or anything. We just want Del Rio to shit himself.
Mm-hmm.
But we will talk a little bit about UFC 203 in a few minutes, though. That's our main topic for these hot tags. But let's talk about an injury. Vince McMahon suffered an injury training. Apparently he tore his quads doing some squats. But I love the post that they put up on WWE.com about it. They were like, Vince McMahon suffered an injury, but he's going to be back at the office on Wednesday. This was Monday when they posted this. Vince is the man. He's going to get surgery, and he's going to just be like, yeah, I'm going to go back to work the next day.
Inspiration, man. That, I mean, he always says that he has no way that he is going to ask someone to do something that he wouldn't. And when he does stuff like that, that proves it.
Mm-hmm. Because he really easily could just, like, take off a month.
Mm.
Sit at home, just call people up if he needs to figure out anything backstage, you know?
Especially at his age.
Yeah, he's, what, 72? 73?
He's not young. I mean, he's not young. I mean, he may not act like it and look like it even, but he's not young.
He's up there and still in better shape than some people that are younger on the roster, which is ridiculous.
Mm.
Awesome job, Vince McMahon. Keep it up, buddy.
it's funny that this happens as Vince McMahon seen as the leader of the WWE. And it's also a big headline out there right now that another certain person running for leader has been having some health troubles. And a big story part of that, too, is that they're strong because they're going to work while they're sick.
Yeah, what is that all about? She's got pneumonia or something?
Hillary Clinton passed out while she was going to an event. I think it was actually at the 9/11 memorial. She got brought into an apartment, came out a little bit later, all smiles and everything. But there's been rumors for a while now that she had some kind of illness, whether and weren't really sure what it is. And like after that happened, it was released that she had pneumonia and that she's been campaigning and continuing to work all this time with pneumonia.
Which, I mean, credit to her. Pneumonia sucks. And if she's doing that and all that, then that's great. Still doesn't mean that I want to vote for her to be president.
There's a lot of problems with this because pneumonia is a highly contagious disease. Vince McMahon, I believed what? Like he tore a muscle or something?
Yeah, it tore his quad.
Again.
Yeah.
That's fine. You know, it's not like he's going to pat someone on the shoulder and they're going to tear their quad.
So, I don't know. He's pretty strong.
Yeah. I
mean, he might just like sense. Slap on the back and they're like, ah, fuck my quad. Whatever you want to say about Clinton, I mean, I'm kind of against her. But then again, I'm kind of against anybody in politics, so fuck them all. I'd rather vote for Vince McMahon at this point. You know, we were talking before about The Rock running. Give me a Vince McMahon and The Rock card.
Oh, fuck yes. I should do Vince and Jesse. Bring back the great commentary team and put them in the White House.
That way you can have one guy who's just kind of like... down to earth, yeah, I'm going to put my nose to the grind, that's what it is, it, you know, whatever. And then you got the other guy who's just kind of like, everything's fucking aliens.
Well, and then also imagine, like, Vince is, like, giving his big important speeches and, like, Jesse's just in the background, like, taking jabs at Vince the whole time, undercutting everything he says.
Vince goes on this whole big platform about, like, what all the policies that he's going to introduce and all that, and they're like, Vice President Ventura, do you have anything to say? I ain't got time to bleed. Okay. You vote for us, you'll be a sexual tyrannosaurus. Damn it, now I want the three of them. We can make The Rock like Secretary of State or something like that.
Oh, man, he would definitely be the guy in charge of the fitness.
Is there like an actual thing for that?
Yeah, I believe Arnold is it.
Really?
Yeah.
Fuck, well then The Rock can't take that spot. Arnold's got to keep it.
Well, it wouldn't be the first time The Rock replaced the Arnold to something.
You know what The Rock could be? I can't remember the name of it offhand. I got to look that up. But Kiefer Sutherland has a new show coming out where you're the person who, like, if everybody else dies, you become the president, you know?
Mm.
That could be The Rock, where he goes wherever. It's Designated Survivor. Where if like everybody's grouped together for like a big Senate thing or something like that, he has to be somewhere completely different. So if somebody like bombs it, he becomes the president. That's The Rock. He's traveling around all the time anyway. We got so many better plans for America than all the shit that we're actually going to be getting in November. This is ridiculous.
Mm.
Let's move on though to another hot tag here. Another thing that has to deal with legal stuff. Ryback is changing his legal name. He is no longer going to be Ryan Allen Reeves after a few weeks because there was a period where you need to wait and you need to put it in the paper a bunch of times, apparently, which seems kind of stupid, but whatever. He is going to be Ryback Allen Reeves. So it's a way for him to get around the whole idea of not using Ryback for future appearances if he wrestles somewhere else, or just, you know, branding in general, because he's been going by the Big Guy, which I'm surprised he can use that even.
And I think that's a little too generic for anybody to be able to copyright.
Maybe. Still, I wouldn't put WWE past it to just kind of take issue with it. I mean, they're getting Cody Rhodes a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah, this is the same exact thing the Warrior did. The Warrior named himself Warrior so that they couldn't come after him and cause him any troubles. And it's not like it's that far off his name. People can still call him Rye. Or they'll probably still call him Ryan if they know him.
Then again, I don't think anybody that knows him probably calls him Ryan. He's probably been the Big Guy or Ryback for like 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
Like the middle school kid.
He's just Skip.
Skip. God, do you think he gets pissed if people bring that up? Like, if he was going to a signing or something like that, and, you know, people are like, ah, you know, I wish you were still in WWE, like, big fan of you, Ryback, whatever. Somebody's just like, yep, 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 what a do.
I'm sure he's got a good sense of humor about it.
He's sitting there going,
yeah, I used to say that.
Yeah, that is what a do.
Yeah, he probably still thinks that sector of his career was really awesome. He's probably still trying to figure out why it didn't work out.
He's like, yip, 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 why don't it?
He's got like that cowboy hat sitting on the like wall of his house. Like, he just ponders over looking at it once in a while.
It's got, you know, like how Batman has those glass cases for Jason Todd's costume as a memorial. He's got that for the fucking hat. Just goes by, looks by once every once in a while, kind of one tear falls. Remember, never forget.
What it do.
Never forget what it do. All right, everybody, we have our main hot tag to talk about here. UFC 203, CM it's Punk time! Versus Mickey Gall. We were joking so much about this. We never watch the UFC things over at the basement. But this is CM Punk, so of course we were like, fuck it, let's just do it this time. We had more fun joking around with UFC stuff than we did with Backlash for different points because, man, everything on this card was just like, there was something funny about everything.
It was a great show. Or I shouldn't say it was a great show. It was a fun show.
Yeah, it was certainly not like the fights were awesome or anything.
Mm. No, actually, I can't think of a single fight that was actually good, except for maybe the women's fight.
Now, there were a couple other fights that I didn't see on the preliminary card.
The preliminary, yeah, you didn't miss it. Actually, a lot of the prelims sucked. Like, when we were watching the prelim, we were actually getting kind of worried it was going to be a bum night. And it wasn't until the main card started that things got fun. So if you missed the prelims, you're good. And okay, actually, good. One of the prelim matches didn't happen.
Yeah, the other woman's match, right?
No, the other woman's match happened. That match really sucked.
Korea and Jessica I?
Yeah.
At it right now.
Who was a hometown girl? By the way, no, wait, the hometown girl was in the other fight, wasn't she?
No, yeah, wasn't it a hometown guy? Wasn't a Stipe?
There was two of them. Yeah, Stipe was a hometown guy, and then there was a hometown girl as well. The hometown girl got beat, though, like pretty bad. Yeah, I think so that's why I think it was the other woman's fight. No, but there was a fight that was dropped because a guy got an injury, and they never actually disclosed what the injury was, just that he got injured in an elevator accident.
Huh. Like, did the elevator fall on him?
They didn't specify either.
Is that what happens when you press all the buttons at one time?
I couldn't find any clear story on it, and I'm sure if I did more research, I could. But something just happened to a guy in an elevator, and he wasn't able to fight.
He was riding in the elevator. Vince McMahon was with them, too. He just slapped him on the shoulder, tore his quad.
There we go.
So, obviously, we don't usually cover UFC things on Smart Cut Moment, but since this is a Punk thing and some people want us to do some crossover stuff, why not? So you watched the whole card, right?
I watched the whole card, yes.
So we had Jessica Andrade, which, of course, the very first thing I thought of was Andrade.
Androgynous. Oh, see, I was thinking androgynous because she kind of looked like a dude.
You know what? Nobody made that joke, but that's so good because a couple people did.
First thing we did.
couple people did say, "What's up with the guy here?" And so,
yeah, dude, especially when the like fight card picture, like she had that big beefy tattoo on, and like with the shadow, the way it was, it looked like she had a happy trail. Yeah, so I feel bad because she's a badass, and I don't want her to kick my ass.
Everybody here can totally kick everybody's. So I wasn't really too thrilled about really anything that happened through a bunch of the different matches, and I actually don't remember a lot of like some different things that have happened. But do you remember anything that was like special out of that match?
That was the fight that had the girl who was from Cleveland. I remember because she was getting a huge response, and they were really bummed that she lost, and that the other chick in yellow. I just remember she was in yellow, and she looked kind of like a dude. She won. She got a good beatdown on her, if I remember right.
You bringing up being in yellow, there's something that threw me off at one point, because I'm so not used to like the graphics and stuff like that. When they had the Travis Brown on the screen, and they showed that Werdum was in white, Brown was in black, and then it said Brown on the right. I just glanced real quick, and I was like, wait a minute, why does it say white, black, brown? There's three people here? And I was like, wait, is this fucking triple threat fight for a second? Like, split second, where I was just like, this doesn't make any sense. Are they all colors? Like, is this the fight of the color people? But Andrade and – or actually, they weren't pronouncing it Andrade, I don't think. So maybe I'm saying it wrong.
She didn't speak English, if I remember correctly. There were a few people who didn't speak English on this card.
And one of those, we'll get to him in a minute, was fucking great. But we had the bantamweight fight was Jimmy Rivera against Uriah Faber.
Oh, this fight was actually probably my favorite fight of the night. Dude, they're showing the pre-match video for this, and they're showing this Faber dude. And again, I'm not a UFC guy, so I'd never seen these people before. And I'm just like, ooh, look at the pretty boy. How you doing, pretty boy? And my friend's like, is he wearing lipstick?
He did look like he should have been a surfer more than a fighter.
That's exactly what he said. It's Shaka, brah, when he's coming down. And then he gets in there, and he's actually, like, kind of crazy. Like, he's bouncing all over the place. He's taking, like, these wild, crazy punches and kicks. He actually kind of won me over after the first round.
Mm-hmm.
So credits to Pretty Boy, the California kid.
There was a running theme throughout the night for me, and it started with this fight, where I was just like, I kind of want the douchebag to win.
What, you want Faber?
Yeah, I was like, I kind of want Faber to win.
See, I kind of wanted him to win, but Rivera, who did win, definitely fought better.
It made sense.
Because there was a certain point where Faber stopped doing all the wild throws. It's because he started getting caught too much from Rivera, and then he just kind of like, he got just more timid about it. Yeah. And that other guy, I didn't even get to him. He had these weird like Jesus tattoos. He had like a rosary on his arm and a cross. And I was like, oh God, here we go. But then the guy's built like a barrel. Like he was just huge and round, and he was pretty intimidating too. And by the end of the fight, I was like, oh yeah, that guy should totally win.
Yeah. It was one of those like by points kind of thing. You just knew it. And so did Faber.
Well, also the ridiculous thing is first he gets hit in the fucking balls.
Yeah.
They had to pause the fight for a minute because he gets kicked in the balls, and the ref's just like, stretch it out. And like 10 seconds later, he's like, yeah, I'm good. And he's like, you sure? He's like, yeah, I'm good. Let's go.
And then they called it an unintentional. And then he was just like, just, you know, don't kick him in the balls.
And then in the next round, he fucking gets clawed right in the fucking eye.
He gets fucking Ric Flair eye poke.
And he keeps fighting. And then after he wins the fight, he's like, yeah, I can't see it all in my right eye, but yeah, I won.
Yeah, I won on like a technicality, but I still win. Woo! I did it! My balls hurt. But at that point, I was kind of thinking like, oh, this Faber guy's a real jerk. It'd be great if he ended up like getting a knockout and people were just like, dude, you kicked him in the balls. And he's like, yeah, so I fucking knocked him out. I don't care. Like, typical like heel kind of thing. Lots of heels throughout this whole thing. We're going to save Punk for last, but Fabrizio Werdum.
Mm-hmm.
Easily my favorite guy of the night. This dude, it was... he starts off the fucking fight against Travis Brown with a goddamn super fight... Street Fighter kick.
Yeah, he runs and he leaps through the air with a kick and connects right to the fucking face. And it doesn't even knock the guy down, amazingly. Like, that's how much of badasses these two guys are.
Like, I'm sitting there thinking, like, they should have dubbed over, like, whatever Guile says or whatever when he does his kicks and stuff like that. And it was just like... at that point, like the CM Punk one and stuff, a little bit of energy for that one, but the Faber one was a little bit boring at times because they really weren't kind of like connecting here and there and stuff. Mm. But Wardum's just kind of like, yo, fuck this. We need to have some like some energy behind this. Bam, a giant kick. And it was like, dude.
He did that and he kept doing lots of other strange things, like leap forwards, like really like weird things I never would expect to see. Like, you know, a lot of people look at wrestling and they're like, oh, you can never do that in a real fight. This guy was doing, yeah, this guy was doing those kind of moves in a real fight.
And I loved at one point, he's laying down and he just wants Brown to get on top of him so he can lock him in. And Brown's just like, nope, nope. Nope, not going around. And it's like Wardum's sitting there like a turtle on its back, kind of. People are booing the hell out of Brown because they know that he's just too much of a pussy to go down and lose like he would have.
But... Oh, he took a weird hit to his fingers, too. And then he asked for a timeout because yeah. He's like, I think I broke my finger. And Wardum's just like, nah, bitch. Just goes and whacks him in the face.
I love when they ask him about it later on, too. What's his name? Joe Rogan's like, so... Brown fucks up his finger and he's asking the referee for a timeout and you just keep punching him, which is totally illegal. What do you have to say about that? Wardum's like, yeah, I don't know what you're talking about, but it was a great fight. And just like, dude.
Well, he said that the referee never split them. And so there wasn't an official timeout. And technically he's right.
He made a good point about that.
Even the announcer said that. So, I mean, it's a little controversial, but he didn't break any rules there. You know, this is UFC. I mean, there's enough goddamn rules as it is.
And it's like you're fighting people. If he wouldn't have overheard the wrong thing or something like that and stopped, maybe he would have been caught with something and lost the whole fight. But
well, I wish this was where the wildness of this ends. All right, so throughout this whole fight, there's this one coach on the side of Brown. I hear him through the whole damn fight. Every other word coming out of the guy's mouth is fuck. Like, the guy had, like, the worst sailor mouth I've ever heard on live television. It's like, oh, this fucking shit. He's fucking throwing fucking terrible fucking punches. And he's cursing his storm up. Like, every single, like, break between rounds and everything.
This fucker's a fucking fuck.
And then after the fight comes, before they even announce who the winner is, he must have said something wrong to Wardum. And so Wardum decides to take a kick after that guy. And then, like everyone just gets all pissed off. Like, the crowd's all mad. Like, the referee's like, get him out! Get all them out! Like, freaking out at what's going on.
Which, that was great. That was just, like, pure WWE. It was just like, and then now you're going to attack the manager afterward? Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, as if shit isn't weird enough... Wardum gets declared the winner. He gets his victory speech. And he spends his time preaching about the dangers of drunk driving.
At this point in the card, I'm sitting there thinking to myself, holy fuck, I'm going to watch UFC from now on if this is the case. And I swear to God, Dace goes, holy shit, if this is going to end up being like what we do, I'm going to buy cars all the time. I'm like, this is great. Like, I don't remember if it was this fight or if it was the Rivera-Faber one. But I joked around. It might have been the Faber one because it might have been earlier like that. I was joking that, like, what they're saying to the people when they come back after a round, a lot of it makes a lot of sense. You know, it's like, well, seems like he's kind of stepping weird on his left foot, try to take him down that way or whatever. But I was like, how much you want to bet one of these guys is just going to be like, hey, hit him real hard and don't get hit. And when I said that right afterward, about 4 seconds afterwards, somebody, one of the coaches, was just like, make sure you hit them a lot. It's like, God damn it. I could be a fucking coach if that's all you got to do. But then, of course, we ended up having the thing with the manager, and it was like, never mind. I ain't fucking getting kicked for this.
I'm not looking to take part in that.
I don't want to be in the same octagon with Wardum if he's just going to be like, oh, you were saying fuck a lot. Well, here's a boot to the chest. That was great. And then we had Alistair Overeem against Stipe. Stipe, that it was, right?
Stipe Miocchi?
Stipe Miocic.
Yeah, that's how I originally pronounced it. I was like, oh, wait, I'm completely wrong.
And that one was like, clearly Overeem lost, and he's bitching afterward going, nope, I felt him tap. So they show him the footage twice, and they're like, yeah, where do you see him tapping there? He's like, no, I don't know, but I felt it.
You know, at the time, I was like, aha, he made him look like a bitch. And throughout the whole fight, he was kind of being a bitch. Like, he was – I've never seen such a big man run with his tail between his legs so much.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was shocked at how that match was playing out. But the next day, Joe Rogan had issued a statement that actually I think is a very good point. And he says that he doesn't want to do any more interviews with fighters after a knockout ending, because he believes what happened with Overeem is as a result of being concussed. And I'm like, man, that's actually really sad.
That because, is a good point.
You know, maybe he really legitimately does remember things that way. Maybe he's not lying, but
his head did bounce up quite a bit. It was dude. Like, you know,
when they showed that in slow-mo, it was like, yeah. Damn.
Just boing, boing. So, I mean, maybe he did feel him tap, maybe he didn't or whatever. It certainly came off funny at the time because it was just literally like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, I felt him tap. Anything else you want to say? Yeah, thanks for not booing me too much, everybody. But the main reason that we all watched this, of course, being wrestling fans, was CM Punk against Mickey Gall. I was saying ahead of time I really wanted Punk to lose, and I was very pleasantly surprised to see that Mickey Gall soundly beat him. Not even in question.
I think you're being gracious when you say soundly beat him. This was a near murder. This was an obliteration. Punk didn't land one punch. He didn't land one punch. He charges in. He throws like a wimpy type punch. Gall ducks, grabs him and takes him down. And then it's the whole time where Punk's just trying to protect himself from getting taken out. And to his credit, he lasts almost 2 minutes. But
I love that meme that was going around where it was like, they said I wouldn't last a minute. I lasted 2 minutes. Hell of a lot more than I would do. I can never say, if anybody is going to say the whole like, oh, I could do better, I am never fucking saying that for any of this kind of stuff. I would get my ass kicked in the training session. But Punk went ahead and he wanted to try this.
Oh man, well, there's a whole point to that I want to get to, but I want to finish talking about this fight first. Punk came out looking the worst for wear of anybody throughout this entire night. I mean, he had this nasty cauliflower ear, he had all cuts all across his face. And yet his ending speech was hilarious because he's like, oh, this is the most fun night of my life.
Yeah, other than getting married, this is the second best night of my life.
He says, I know that he told everyone, you know, just to always believe in yourself and always try. He's like, I know this sounds kind of preachy for someone who just got his ass beat, but well, actually, that leads well into the point I wanted to say, which was it's all great. Yeah, that he had the guts to do this and all that, but he was also afforded such an opportunity that most people who also would have the guts did not get.
Right, because he's a name.
Because he's a name, and to be fair, he did sell a lot of pay-per-views. There's nothing against that. But did you see what he got paid?
He got paid $2,500 from Reebok, but I think his total was $500,000, right?
I saw $300 for the match alone, but then when you include like endorsements and all that, I don't know what that equaled out to. But I know it was... I think Gall only got like $50,000. He got paid six times more than Mickey Gall did.
Though, to be fair, Mickey Gall, now he's a name.
Yes. Yes. So. And his next payday will probably be much more significant. He's ultimately going to be the bigger MMA star.
Yeah. Oh, without a doubt. I mean, they were saying before like that the kid was good and stuff. Obviously, I have no idea what his previous fights were. I've never seen him before. But he did a damn good job just like not even trying to make it like to milk it and make it seem like it was a good fight or whatever. He was just like, no, I'm going to fucking win. And he just did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I don't think we should skip the entrance music for both of these guys. Because Punk, of course, comes out to Cult of Personality, which a lot of people were hoping he would.
That was cool.
Yeah, very cool. He didn't do his general mannerisms. He didn't do like the It's Clobbering Time or
Dace
any of that
was pissed
shtick
about that. He was well, like, if he does It's Clobbering Time, then I'm back cheering for CM Punk. And as soon as he got done where he didn't do it, he was like, I hope he gets his ass kicked.
Well, you know what the weirdest way they were building up Punk all night is they kept talking about how much of a nice guy he was. How
really?
You didn't hear that over the commentary? They kept talking about how humble he's been, how nice and gracious he's been to everybody. He helps mop the floors at the gym at the end. Like, that's how they were building up Punk the whole night. How this guy who was like, you know, a huge star in another world came over and he was just been humble and you know, trying to work his ass off.
Look at Punk in the babyface treatment.
Mm-hmm. But Mickey Gall, his entrance music. He came out to Hey Mickey. I don't know the name of the artist, but it's that song from the 80s that sounds like a cheerleader song.
Yeah. Oh, Mickey, you're so fine. You're so fine. You blow my mind. Hey, Mickey. Which was just like, we cracked up immediately. We're like, this guy has the balls to do that? Awesome.
Yeah, that guy's one of my heroes now. Like, the way he took advantage of this whole situation. And then at the end of the fight, he calls out somebody else, some sage pretty boy.
Yeah, the dude that looks like he could have been the surfer bro, the other guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's got hair.
I bet all three of them go surfing together.
He's got hair that puts my spiky hair to shame.
He's got, like, Guy Fieri hair.
Yeah. Hopefully he's not as much of a creep as Guy Fieri is. But I thought that this was overall a real fun show, and I thought that it was funny afterward, too, that they were talking to Dana White, and they were like, so what's next for CM Punk? And he's like, he shouldn't have his next fight at UFC.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, if Punk wants to have a career in MMA, that's fine, but I think at this point he got his one draw of, like, okay, let's see what this guy's got. He's going to have to build himself up if he's going to be another name. Because a lot of people, there's a lot of Punk apologists out there on this, and a lot of people are like, oh, Brock Lesnar lost his first fight, too. Well, not as soundly, and that's Brock fucking Lesnar.
Yeah, and he had diverticulitis at the time.
Not at the time of his first fight.
Oh, I thought he had it, like, throughout the entire thing.
Maybe early stages, I don't know, but I know that at least he didn't really suffer effects from it until later.
He had pre-diverticulitis at the time.
Yeah. He had monoticulitis.
Wasn't as diverse yet.
Yeah.
So, what do you think's the better show? UFC 203 or Backlash?
Oh, dude. It's completely different it's hard to kinds compare. Of shows. Yeah, it's completely different shows.
But which one do you have more fun on?
If I looked at it as an MMA purist, I actually don't think UFC 203 was probably a very good show.
Probably not.
I had a lot of fun with it, but that's because I don't watch this very much, so it's kind of like getting to see this novel thing that was kind of cool. But I think if I was an MMA purist, I probably would have thought this was a rather lame show.
Mm-hmm.
Backlash, on the other hand, as I am a wrestling purist, I had a lot of enjoyment from that one as well. I think there was some kick-ass moments from that. We got three supreme feel-good moments on that show, which if you can come up with that's good. I'm happy with that. And there were three big ones. I mean, like, AJ Styles winning the WWE title is such a major historic thing. Like, I think one of the big facts that a lot of people are throwing around there is there's three people now that have both won the NWA and the WWE heavyweight titles. That's Buddy Rogers, Ric Flair, and now AJ Styles. Hmm. That's some company to be in.
You know what some company is good not to be in?
TNA.
TNA. He's probably sitting there right now just going, like, man, this is such a great year.
Oh, there was a funny that there's a meme I saw that had, like, a collection of all tweets from people that used to wrestle with him in TNA. And the best one was from MVP. And it was just that picture of Dixie, like, crying, and he tweeted that, like, immediately after it happened.
That's probably what actually happened, though.
Yeah, it's probably everybody else was like just an old picture. He probably, like, took that as a live picture.
He's just hanging out with her. Just wanted to get her reaction live. We want to know what you guys have to say about all these different topics, though. Leave those in the comments below. Tell us what you thought of UFC 203. Do you have any jokes about what Ryback should have changed his name to instead of Ryback? What do you think's going on with Paige? Should she have not gotten that Alberto Del Rio tattoo? Should Almas leave, or should he just kind of suck it up and deal with WWE for a while? And do you want to praise Vince McMahon? Would you vote for him over Hillary or Trump or anybody else like that? Normally, right now, I would be saying that you should tune into the next part, but we're going to be uploading this separately, so that's it for the week other than plugs. So, Peyton, anything you want to toss out?
Yeah, follow me on the Twitch at MRPADEN. MRPADEN.
Twitch. And for my side of things, obviously, everybody keep checking out all the other things from smarkoutmoment.com. Follow the Facebook and Twitter accounts. Subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. Give us a big thumbs up on that YouTube video as well. And share it around, all the other kind of stuff like that. We will see you, or at least I will see you, in the rest hold next, most likely. Then after that, Cruiserweight Classic post-show. And then some other things as well coming up a little bit later on this week. So keep checking back on the channel, and we will see you then. This has been another Smarkout Moment, and we're being counted out.